It's hot everywhere here in Southeast Tennessee, day in a row. I'll give us a heat index of about 100. Well, like they say, you can't do nothing.
Well, it sure feels good to come in here and just pull up a seat. A frosty mug of a cool one helps to beat the heat. These old dog days of summer, Lord, I'll be glad when they're gone. It's too hot to fish, too hot for golf, and too cold at home. That baseball game on TV takes me back to when I was a kid. We proudly wore those uniforms just like the Dodgers. Yeah, we won a few and lost a few, and for me,
just
still goes on. It's too hot to fish, and too hot for golf, and too cold at home.
Well, that don't work.
Well, I only planned on one or two. I might stay for free if that good-looking thing in the corner keeps smiling back at me. It's so easy not to care about what's right or what's wrong. It's too hot to fish and too hot for golf. Too cold at home. Well, I only planned on one or two. I may stay for free if that good. It's so easy not to care about what's right or what's wrong. It's too hot to fish, too hot for golf, and too cold at home. It's too hot to fish, too hot for golf, too cold at home.
New forecast is in. It's called.
You know I got it. Come and get it.
Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend?
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
traffic jam. Staring at the faces in a rearview mirror. Looking at the promise of the promised land.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. Okay, here we are. Let me check and make sure everything's working here. It takes me just a second to get going. I'm starting a little earlier tonight. On Wednesdays, you know, I'm usually 30 minutes late because of other obligations. But tonight, I got those obligations all taken care of, and I have other things that I need to do later. So I decided to dive in here a little early. I hope that doesn't mess everybody up. I'm trying to get the word out here right away and let people know that we're on early tonight. Give me just 1 second to put this in here. And Amy's doing a little better today. She got out of the house and got out and watered the garden a little bit. She's still moving awful slow and still pretty sore, but she's getting better every day, so I don't think it's going to take the same amount of time that you know, it does for a lot of folks to get over these shingles. But anyway, we're glad she's done it. I'm pretty confident with the expo going on and everything else and Amy just healing up. I'm pretty confident that you're not going to see her until Monday. I'd hoped that she'd be on this last Monday, but didn't happen. So we'll see. Hopefully she'll, unless she has a relapse, I'm confident that she'll be on this coming Monday. I'm trying to type and talk at the same time here. A lot of stuff going on, comrades. Welcome to 1938 Germany. We thought we were there before. Yeah, we are firmly now, undeniably, without any debate whatsoever, in the same type of social and political environment that we were, or that what happened in Germany in 1938. And it wasn't just the Jews there, it was the whole country except for the ruling class pretty well. So that's where we're at, and there's some very interesting things tonight, I think, that will fill your time up pretty well. I just saw something about Luna, New Mexico on here. That's why I'm stuttering a little bit. I'm trying to save that and catch it later and see what the heck it is. It's pretty odd that you see something from Luna anywhere. So, all right. Eeny, meeny, miny, which one should I pick here? Let's start with this one. You guys have probably seen this on the news. This is a jury has ruled that a local gun store in Milwaukee they've awarded $6 million to two police officers. Okay, the gun store is going to wind up having to pay that unless they appeal and win it. And in this current anti-gun climate that we're in, I think that we're seeing a very, very dangerous thing happening here. What it was, this was very much like, you remember when Rick and Terry Reese got in trouble in New Mexico, in Deming, New Mexico, the New Deal gun shop. And they were incarcerated, persecuted, prosecuted. Everything that you could cute it to them, they was getting some of it. And they lost pretty much everything. And I don't know what the status is on that right now. I heard here a few months ago that everybody was out of jail, but still having a lot of other problems. So I'm not sure where they stand on that. But this is very much like that. You know, we never know. We never know from what we see in the news just how legitimate and how factual some of these things are. So we kind of have to take them for face value, at face value for the time being until we learn other things. But from the video that I saw and from the voice recordings, now they had video and stuff at Rick Reese's deal too. But it was doctored a little bit, and it wasn't all exactly factual. However, they did do some things that were, you know, probably shouldn't have, but not nearly what they said they'd done. Well, apparently this guy, 18-year-old kid, not old enough to buy a handgun, and probably had enough criminal record that he couldn't have, even if he did have, was even if he had been 21, paid a guy $40 to go in and buy a handgun for him. Now, according to testimony and everything that we've got to look at right now, the guy walked in with the person that bought the gun for him and said, yeah, that one, that's the one I want. And evidently he left. And the guy went to buy the gun and started to fill out the 4473. The first question, the first box that you check on form 4473 is, are you buying this for yourself or for someone else? That's not worded exactly right, but that's what it means. And no, it says, are you buying this gun for yourself? So he first checked no, and the dealer said, you need to check the other one, when he should have just stopped it right there. But anyway, he checked the other box then, the correct box. And so according to everything that we see right now, the guy sold him the gun knowing full well that he was buying it for someone else. Okay? That's illegal. I don't agree with it. It shouldn't be that way. If a guy can't own a gun, then, you know, he either needs to stay in jail or, you know, execute him or do whatever you're going to do with him. But I don't agree with much gun laws at all. But be that as it may, he violated federal law. Okay, I get that. Now, he, according to the way the law is, not saying I agree with it, but I'm saying what should have happened is he should have been charged, prosecuted for the straw purchase. However, he should not have been sued for the actions of someone else. Okay, the guy was 18. He may have known it was a straw purchase, but he did not take the gun out and tell the guy to shoot those two cops. The other problem I have with this, two other problems, is that, hey, there's a .00 right there, and that's a little redundancy in the name. I'm not sure who that is, but welcome. I've never seen you in here before. I'm glad you made it in tonight. excuse me. I don't agree with it. If they were going to prosecute him, it should be for the straw purchase. But the 18-year-old kid got into an altercation with two cops and shot them both in the face. Okay, this is where I start having a little bit of a problem, a little bit of heartburn with this. If the cops are the ones that are suing the gun dealer, if you hadn't have sold him that gun, we wouldn't have been shot in the face. Well, number one, I disagree with that. If he hadn't have sold him that gun at that time, he would have found one somewhere else. He would have stolen one. He would have went to another dealer. He would have found somebody else to make the straw purchase. That didn't make any difference. He still was responsible for his own actions, regardless of where he got the gun. Second thing is, what about training? Both of these guys, these cops, had a hold of this 18-year-old kid and failed to put him down. The kid got loose long enough to get a hold of his gun, shot them both in the face. Okay, I feel bad for him. I mean, I wish it hadn't happened. But it's not the gun dealer's fault. It's the gun dealer's fault. He violated federal law. But the problem that's going to happen here, what this is going to do is that now that if this goes through, if it's not appealed and what do you call it when they decide not to go through with it? Anyway, whatever it is. If it doesn't make it through the appeal process, then we now have a precedent here for suing the Toyota dealer because he sold someone a truck that run over a kid on a bicycle out somewhere. We can sue the guy that sells the boat to an individual who went out on the water and lost control and run up on the beach and killed somebody's wife while she was sunbathing out there. Not only can we sue the owner of the guy that was driving the boat, we can sue the guy that made the boat. We can sue the guy that sold him the boat. And there is no end to this. We can sue packaged liquor stores now. You know, they've tried to sue bars for years now for letting somebody get too drunk and then go out and have a car wreck or something. that's exactly right, Mountain Shooter. You're right about that. So what if they start suing packaged liquor stores now? We have somebody that goes and buys a fifth of vodka and then gets drunk and gets mad, goes into a drunken rage and beats his wife to death. Is the packaged liquor store, is Walmart to blame for that? Is the family, you know, the corner, not the family, but the community, the local neighborhood liquor store down on the corner, is that guy responsible for the actions of this individual? That's what we're looking at if this goes through. If this is successful, there will be no end to the lawsuits. These lawsuits have gotten so incredibly stupid for the silliest, stupidest things. It's embarrassing to even discuss it. hang on a minute. So anyway, we're opening up a huge can of worms here. It's going to be it's going to be interesting to see where this turns out. Now, if they are successful with this, and the cops manage to collect, of course the bar owner, I mean the gun store, you know, declare bankruptcy. It won't keep him out of jail, but it'll probably keep him from paying the cops. They'll get a judgment. They've got the judgment against him right now, and so they can still, I guess, if he goes to jail for a while, he's probably not going to need his house, his car, or his for his motorcycle or his gun collection or all that. So, you know, they'll sell all that to collect and pay on the settlement, I guess. I don't know how all that works, but so anyway, needless to say, I'm grossly disappointed in the whole process here. And the process is broken. The system is broken. The system is kaput. It means nothing now. It's whatever they want it to be, whatever they want it to be at the time that they want it to be something. It never, ever works on our side or works for us. We don't have the opportunity to change the rules and the laws as we go along here. And so I'm ticked about the whole thing. I tell you what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to put on a very short sound deal here for you because I've got to get up and walk to the other end of the shop here. Just take a second. I've got to go down there and turn a radio down because some guys just started talking and it's very distracting and I'm having a very difficult time staying on task here. Of course, that's not really a new thing. But anyway, let me find something to last here just for a little bit. All right, I'll be back.
I mean, it's downright sickening to watch this. No, you're going to get these white folk all riled up here. I'm going to tell you something. They're going to come in, the white folk get riled up, you know, members of the NRA going to come into the black neighborhoods. I'm telling you, you know, the people going to get, people just tired of this. White people are being pushed around, kicked to the curb, having their rights denied, being called a racist, being walked on, watching their tax dollars go to fund all kind of drug sales, prostitution, illegal immigration. I mean, y'all going to push these white folk till they can't take it no more. I'm telling you. You fool around here with Obama? You going to let this long-legged Mac Daddy push these white folk? They're going to come up out of Tennessee and come up out of Oklahoma, come up out of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, come up out of Oregon and come out of Idaho, California. I'm telling y'all, you're pushing these white folk and you're pushing them. Your long-legged Mac Daddy's pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. And they're going to get, listen, you're going to push people to the point where they're not going to take it no more. These white folk are not going to take it. You're taking their tax money. You're closing down their jobs. You're shutting down their banks. You're telling them what they can and cannot do. You're giving billions of dollars to Acorn. You're taking their tax money and giving it to people to buy drugs. You're killing babies and you won't stop. You're telling lies. And you're demoralizing our nation. You're destroying everything that has made this nation. White folk getting ready to rise up. They don't want to take it no more. And I'm joining them. Oh, doggone it. I am.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
What ass was that, Haji?
Yeah. All right, I'm back. I got my radio turned down. And speaking of radio, we have Radio Doc in here, and I should know who that is. And I'm probably pretty sure I do. It may be the guy that lives right down the road from me here just a little ways. And it may be a guy over in Kingman. It may be several people, but I think I know who it is. All right. Let's go to the next issue we have here. We've got the gun thing out of the way. It's brand new. There's still, it looks like the Reese thing. It can change dramatically a number of times before they settle into the Reese's gut. They managed to get out of every single thing that they were charged with except for one. But then it was too late. All of their, you know, they had tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of gold and silver. They had, I don't know, 1,000 guns or something like that. They had old cars, military vehicles, brass, ammo, the entire inventory of the store. I mean, it was just a freaking nightmare. I hated it for those people. I didn't know Rick and Terry real well, but I did know them some. They were good friends with Jason. And I was friends with them. I hadn't spent that much time with them. I didn't know them that well. But the same thing is going to happen to this guy here. They're railroading him. And this is the kind of stuff that makes me scared to death to even mess with getting my FFL back, you know. So, lots of stuff going on. Let's hit another one here. And I want to save the best one for last. Oh, Doc. This is interesting right here. They, the Navy, Naval Academy, has reinstated celestial navigation. They've reinstated driving by the stars here. I wonder why that is. It seems a little odd. I mean, they're bringing the sextant back out of the storage and they're back to steering the boats the way, you know, Columbus did, using the stars. Now, I don't know that they're getting rid of all their computerized gizmos right now, but nevertheless, they've abandoned teaching this for a good long while. Well, actually, probably 25 years or something like that. They are coming back with it now, and when we think about EMPs and hacking and all the many things that can go wrong with computers and navigation equipment and all of that, and everything on there, I have to wonder if they know something that we don't. Is there something more to this than what they're telling us? It says right here that they, right somewhere, I just had it. And I had a little fire, it goes. In Annapolis, midshipmen studied celestial navigation more than a century until 1998. And what happened then? The Air Force happened. In the 1990s, airmen launched 24 satellites nearly 13,000 miles above the Earth. By 1995, this network, the Global Positioning System, GPS, could pinpoint your location within a few feet. Since then, GPS has never been shut off, according to the government's website, gps.gov. Today, 31 satellites circle the Earth, each twice a day, costing taxpayers about $1 billion a year. So if there's a big shutdown, if there's a big collapse, if there's an EMP, if there's any number of things that could stop this, hacking, intentional attacks from other nations, whatever the case, they are falling back on sextants and navigating by the stars. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing by any means. I don't think it is. I don't think they ever should have got rid of it. I think it's a brilliant skill to know, and they never should have got done with it. But the only thing I'm wondering is why all of a sudden the sudden interest in this. Why is it that they say, we better get back to this. We want everybody to learn how to drive that boat by the stars there. So it's, I think it's very interesting. I think there may be more to this story than what we know. Problem is, if there is and something happens, we're never going to know, because I'm probably not going to be able to get back on the show to tell you.
Yeah. happy. But darling, let me say,
revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, and it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills that is waiting for me
there. All right. We're back. For those of you that haven't taken it yet, there's a survey over on the left-hand side, bright green box right under the Survival Circle logo. We're looking at doing some more marathon shows, 8 hours of a single host, and we're trying to get an idea for what people want to hear for 8 hours. It's pretty well established, and I don't think that's going to be able to change. It'll probably happen on Sundays. So, which suits me fine. So, if you haven't done that, go in and vote for your favorite host on there, or host. You can vote for more than one if you want. And we're working on getting this marathon thing to happen. Probably the way it's standing right now, I'd say that it's probably going to be every week on a Sunday, is the way it's looking. We're going to take that down here pretty shortly. So we'll see what's doing, and we can thank DeTinker for putting that up there for us. And it was a great idea to do this. So we're just trying to give you the most bang for your bucks that you're not paying for this radio show, radio network. We're trying to keep it free. So that works out for everybody, I think. We don't have to mess with licenses and taxes and permits and fees and all that kind of stuff. So we do ask once in a while if you could find it in your hearts to get over to the donate button over in the top right-hand corner up there and throw in a few bucks from time to time. This is what pays for the servers and podcast servers and all that kind of stuff. So if you can pitch us a buck every once in a while, it would be greatly appreciated. That's how we're keeping this free, is from donations from the listeners. So, all right. Now, hang on a minute. We'll see. All right, that can wait. Let me shut this down. Got a lot of messages coming in right now on account of the expo starting. Well, it's not starting tomorrow, but well, we've got people coming in, starting to set up tomorrow. Officially, it starts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's not as big as we'd hoped, but I think it's going to be great. We have a new member of the team here, a representative from here in Arizona. We have a representative coming from Utah. Washington. Or two, and we have vendors and participants coming from Utah, Idaho, Washington, Nevada, Casper Mountain. I'm not sure if he's coming from Wyoming or California, but anyway. And plenty of them here from Arizona. And yes, Doc, I did get your letter. It came in today, and thank you. We'll get that taken care of, Most Ricky Tick, for you. Thank you very much. Okay, now then. Here is the one that is the most worrisome. You know, just a few days ago, we talked about the strong cities or whatever in the heck it was there, UN stuff. Well, it's gotten much worse than that. Right now, that is it really takes a back seat to this one. What we have now, the Department of Justice, with everything else that's going on in the world, with ISIS overrunning places, it doesn't matter who created ISIS or why they're there. What matters is they are there. And the things that they're doing, unspeakable acts of violence and unbelievable stuff. Absolutely unbelievable. Sweeping pretty much across the globe here. And if it's not ISIS, then we have ISIS sympathizers. All these, as they would call them, refugees, which they are not. It's an attacking force is what it is. An invasion is what it is. And so we've pretty well all come to that conclusion. So with all this going on, now the Department of Justice has said, you know what? This domestic terror thing is just getting way out of hand. We got people that are talking bad about the government. We got people that don't like what we're doing. We got people that openly tell Hillary that she's a low-life, scum-sucking slut, and they shouldn't be doing that. So we're creating a new department here. This is going to be the Department of let's see, where's the name of it here to help combat? The department has a new division that will coordinate investigation and prosecution of anti-government and hate groups. Assistant Attorney General John Carlin, who oversees national security, the Domestic Terrorism Council. There we go. That's what of which most of us are proud members. Announced the new division, the Domestic Terrorism Council, following a number of violent attacks or plots against the U.S. that he said were motivated by anti-government views, racism, bigotry, and anarchy. You know what? Racism and bigotry, as despicable as they are not illegal. But, so, as I said earlier when we first started the show, right now we are absolutely dead center, right in the middle of 1939 Germany. Doc, what you said a while ago, no one should look forward to or encourage or support war with Russia or China. Boy, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. If you think this is going to be something fun to watch, when this happens this time, folks, we're not going to sit around and watch this on TV like we did in Vietnam. We're not going to sit around and watch this on TV like we do Afghanistan and Iran. It's coming here. If you're going to be watching anything, you're going to be watching to make sure that your garden isn't raided in the middle of the night, that your fuel, your food, your animals, your daughters, your vehicles, whatever, are not taken or damaged. You're going to be watching to see if the rockets and missiles are hitting close enough that you think you need to abandon your home. You're not going to sit around and watch this one and say, my, ain't this awful, down at the barber shop or the beard joint and talk. It's coming here. So if you think that you support or encourage is not the right word, but if you think you want to see a war between Russia and China, I mean us and Russia and China, you're insane. Now, there are a great many of us that wish that if there was going to be something happen, that it happens internally and get the government and the country back on the straight and narrow path, that's a whole different story. But to think that there's going to be some benefit or some entertainment value out of seeing a war between us and either Russia or China or both, worst case, then you are a freaking retard. It's unbelievable that there are people that think that that is somehow going to be the reset button here to get the country back going again. It is not. It's going to be the worst possible thing that you could imagine. So we're hoping that that is not going to be the case. But whichever is going to be the case, you can be damn certain that something is about to happen. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 months, year and a half, whatever it is, it's not going to be long. You know, DeTinker, you're right about that. You're absolutely right. Even if there was a war between Russia and China, which that's a possibility, that's not going to be good for anybody. The whole world is going to suffer for something like that. And we'll see some immediate effects out of a war like that. And I'm not so sure that we're not starting to see some mild effects now of what's going on over there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Pumpkin Cat just posted a link to a story that ICE has arrested 314 criminals across Florida. So this new, let me get back up here to the new department, the new Domestic Terrorism Council. You know, they're going to this Domestic Terrorism Council. They're going to go out there and they're going to listen for things on the shooting bench, and John Galt and the Tinker Show and Conk Show and everybody else here. They're going to be looking for. I say that. I think it'll come to that. I don't think that that's going to be the first and immediate problem. I think that they're going to be looking for the most radical anti-government militias. I think they're going to look for those militias that they don't like. They fear that they're getting bigger and growing, and they're going to turn them into an anti-government militia, whether they are or not. There are so many people that just associate the word militia with anti-government, and that is absolutely not the truth. It just dawned on me here. I stuttered here a little bit because now I remember who Radio Doc is, because Radio Doc, I talked to him on Facebook just shortly before the show started. Just didn't put two and two together there for a minute. So, Radio Doc, welcome, brother. I know who you are now. And I'm going to say this one more time, and you guys can probably recite it with me. I don't know how many times I've said this over the years. But the average militia out there is absolutely not anti-government. We are anti-corruption in government. And that's all, you know, LFA, they're talking about being anti-government. We are not anti-government. LFA is absolutely not anti-government. They're anti-corruption in government. They're trying to maintain constitutional principles and guidelines and trying to keep things going the way that they were intended. And there just hasn't been enough people over the years that I was talking to on the phone yesterday about something. The other side, our opponents, are the ones that when they want something done, they find plenty of people to make plenty of noise. You know, they don't have any trouble with chaining themselves to a tree to keep it from being cut down, chaining themselves to a bulldozer to keep it. All I can tell them, they better be damn glad I'm not falling the tree or running the bulldozer. But, you know, they go out there and commit these acts of civil disobedience, and they get things done. It ain't the things that we want to see done, but they get them done. Us, what do? Well, not much. We have rallies. Until Anthony Bosworth came along, there just wasn't a whole lot of people that really, really stood out there and dadgummit, hold on here a minute. Goodness, excuse me. There's, and I don't mean to take anything away from anybody else. There has been other people that have stood the line out there, but most of them have stood alone and didn't get the effect that they were hoping to. And a lot of them have wound up in jail and labeled as kooks and all of that, and didn't get nearly done what they had hoped to do. We've got now, we had Clive and Bundy that was one of the first to really solidly stand the line out there. Now we have Lavoie Finicum doing the same thing. Lavoie is an amazing individual. And he will be here, actually he's going to be here late tomorrow night, I think, or Friday morning. And potentially, he's the next one, the next big standoff here. So, we'll see what happens here. I wish I knew who. Oh, maybe Radio Doc knows who Double Odd is. That they seem to be communicating there, back and forth. So. All right. Well, there's this. What do they call it? Domestic Terrorism Council. I think this is going to be the equivalent of Nazi Germany's SS. They may not be as violent and ruthless and stuff in the beginning, but I see that materializing into something virtually identical to the SS. I never thought in a million years, my entire life, that we'd ever see this type of activity, this type of things being allowed in this country. It's astounding to me. They're saying that more Americans have died at the hands of domestic terror than the international terror groups that federal law enforcement focuses so much on. This is what the Assistant Attorney General said, John Carlin, pointing to things like the Charleston church shooting, anti-government extremism. You know, we talked about this yesterday or day before yesterday, that there were more Americans killed by law enforcement in 2014 than all of the mass shootings combined. So, who's the domestic terrorist, I wonder? He said, looking back over the past few years, it's clear that domestic terrorists and homegrown violent extremists remain a real and present danger to the United States. Not to the United States. Not at all. We recognize that. Over the past few years, more people have died in this country in attacks by domestic extremists than in attacks associated with international terrorist groups. Why, so let's see. How many died in the Twin Towers? I'll have to check into that. While many similarities exist between domestic and international terror groups, such as recruitment and reach on social media, one difference lies in the way the Justice Department is able to lies in the way the Justice Department is able to prosecute them. Groups such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda, who are inspired by religious extremism, are designated by our federal government as terror organizations, which makes it illegal to support or assist them, but no such statute exists to prosecute white extremists and white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan or anti-government extremists, forcing federal law enforcement to find more concrete charges to lock them up with. Look at this paragraph right here. What did we see in the first sentence? Inspired by religious extremism, are designated by our federal government as terror organization, which makes it illegal to support or assist them. Okay, you with me so far? So if this domestic terrorism council, if all this gets going, it appears to me through this paragraph that they're wanting to do the same thing for militias and these what they call domestic terrorist groups. They're saying that it makes it illegal to support or assist the ones that the federal government has classified as terror organizations. So does this mean now that you're not going to be able to help with when we get ready to go to to Bundy Ranch or to wherever? Are you not going to be able to make donations to LFA anymore? You're not going to be able to make donations to your local militia anymore? That's what it sounds like to me. Radio Doc, buddy, you better believe we're in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble. Well, if I don't get a few more things done here tonight before the expo tomorrow, I'm going to be in serious trouble. I've got a lot to do, and I'm pretty much doing it by myself on this end. So we'll see how everything works out. We've got a lot of good people coming down here for this expo, and I am tickled to death to want to be here. And many of them I've known for a while and seen before, but been a while. And some of them will be the first time. And I'm just real excited about this thing happening. I don't know how successful it'll be as far as organization and everything. I don't know. But the rally part of it, I think, is going to go very well. So I might as well make a command decision right now that tomorrow night is not going to happen. There's not going to be a shooting bench. So I think you're going to be on your own until Saturday I take that back. I'm going to make every conceivable effort that I possibly can to come in here with the Liberty Lounge Friday night, because we're going to have a lot of folks here that really enjoy that Liberty Lounge, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. And that's the plan right now. So let's plan on getting together again Friday night. I think tomorrow is going to be a wash, so I think we'll either DeTinker or I, one or the other, will try to get archives queued up at the proper time, one for Amy, one for me, and that's probably going to have to do it. Friday night, we're going to try to do a really fun Liberty Lounge, so I hope that everybody will join us for that. All right, with all that being said, I think it is time for us to vacate the chair here, and I'll see you guys Friday. Thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.